Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the On The Box podcast, the television podcast on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I'm your host, as usual, Mr. Gags Tandon. Today, we're going to be talking about one of my favourite recently released shows this year, maybe end of last year, I think it was this year, Sneaky Pete. And to talk to me about this show, I basically ended up now podding with him twice in the space of a week. It's mental. Don't pod with him for ages and then twice in a week. Mr. Jim Fishlock, half of that Motley Crew on Two Guys and a Live of Bird podcast.
Thanks, mate.
How are you doing? Quite
the introduction.
Yeah,
good, thanks. Yeah, very good. Very good. Really enjoyed this show. So
not as good as the intro I did with Cara, obviously, but
No. Well, that was a long one, that was. That's probably longer than this podcast going to be.
Anyway, we're here to talk Sneaky Pete, a Bryan Cranston show. You know, well, he's got his name all over this one. Executive producers, obviously, who was the first one? David Shaw. Basically, these guys are big names that have been involved with big, big shows, you know. And then basically, who was the guy that took over this one? Graham Yost, who basically involved in stuff like The Americans and Falling Skies, Justified, I think, things like that. So loads of big shows, the people behind it, you know, very reputable in the industry, the writers, the directors. Bryan Cranston obviously directed one. But before we get going into the show, Jim, we do a little non-spoiler section on this pod. So I want you to basically just describe to the listener, if they haven't seen this and they're listening because they want to listen to the On The Box, and then go and watch it and come back, which some people have done, by the way, you'd be surprised. Why should they watch this? What type of a show is it? Is it similar to anything that you've watched? Or just give them a feel and I'll help you out.
So the premise of the show is that Giovanni Ribisi plays a character, and basically he's a con man, and it's the story of how this guy basically jumps into steal someone's identity to try and help himself and his family out, help himself and his brother out. And if you've seen the film, I think Confidence with Ed Burns, if you've watched Hustle, if you like the sort of the sleight of hand, the people saying one thing while something else is actually happening, then that's a good reason to watch this show. The other reason to watch the show is Giovanni Ribisi is fantastic. He's such a great character actor. This is very, very funny, very, very witty, little bit of sort of edge to it. You know, it's got a lot of sort of, when the episodes do finish, you're sort of itching for the next one to start. And all in all, it's just very, very well written, very well put together. Like you say, David Shaw, he's known for, you know, House, which was a fantastic long-running series. So the TV show itself, it looks good, it looks slick. All the characters seem to be really well thought out. Script is fantastic. And Bryan Cranston, for no spoilers, but I will say Bryan Cranston, in one of the episodes, goes full-on Breaking Bad, Heisenberg, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, if you're a massive fan of Breaking Bad, then you really should be watching this show, because Bryan Cranston just, is pure, more Heisenberg than anything in this one. Like, but obviously it's a different, puts a different role. Let's not say he copied his role, but like you said, there's an element to it, but he also brings a really good gangster element, doesn't he? Like, as in, he is like the head of a mob type thing. And, he's just brilliant. I just thought he was, and he made sure he kept himself to the side as well. It wasn't like he took over the show with his presence. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. You know, like there's some shows where, I've listened to a podcast with Bryan Cranston on the Nerdist podcast, and he was talking a little bit about how he picks his roles now, and he just says, you know, he's lucky enough that if it's something that comes to him and he likes it and it's a little bit different to things he's done before, then he's in. And I know from reading up on this one that he wasn't actually going to cast himself. So yeah, he is full on sort of Heisenberg at times, but it doesn't overpower the show. The show itself is about Giovanni Ribisi, his character, and the family.
And the people that he works with.
And the people who he works with, you know, his extended family, you know, family.
Good.
And then, you know, Bryan Cranston, he just dips in and out, and all he does is add to it. It's a bit like The West Wing, which is like, The West Wing is, in terms of the characters, the story and the way that it's been put together is all about the supporting characters. Mm. And then all of a sudden you just dip in a little bit of Martin Sheen, who's the president, who's absolutely fantastic. And it just brings it all together, just takes it to another level. He dips in, he dips out. He's got his sort of quick one-liners. He's got his monologues in there, which he just delivers like nobody else.
We'll go on.
It's just absolutely fantastic. And, to me, it just had everything that a really, really good, really good watchable sort of potentially long-running TV series should have. So it was really, really good.
Yeah. So if you're like me and you like to watch a show where someone's living a lie and the suspense is there every episode of this guy getting caught out, right? Because that's what it's about. It's about getting out of tricky situations all the time. You find, you know, Giovanni Ribisi, and his name is Marius in the show, will find himself in tricky situations and he's going to try and use his cleverness to get out. And he's so bright. And you know what? That's where we're going to end the spoiler section. Not as long as usual. But what I will do instead is go and do the little stats a bit. Not stats, but what the internet talks about before we go onto the show. This one on Rotten Tomatoes from critics got 100%. I haven't seen that before. I mean, not many critics have listened to that, 25 or so, but still 100%. People that have watched it on Rotten Tomatoes, 90%. Still really, really high. IMDb's giving it an 8.4. Still very respectable. And I think Metacritic gave it 77%. It's probably why Metacritic isn't really used that much. But no, I'm joking. I'm just giving you the balance of what people are saying. But, you know, honestly, if you haven't seen it and you have an Amazon account, you must go and watch it. It's done really, really well. It got renewed pretty much immediately as it got released. I think Amazon must have gone mad. They don't release numbers of how many people watched it, but it got renewed a week after its, you know, release pretty much. So that shows you how mental. 8,294 people, by the way, gave that an 8.4. And I think on Amazon, it's got something like 5 stars from, again, thousands of reviews. But I don't trust Amazon because it's their show. So, yeah, we won't use that one. But, Jim, impressive kind of ratings from everybody.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's like I said, it's one of those shows. It's just got a bit of everything and it keeps you going because, you know, like you said just now, or, you know, he sort of gets himself out of these scrapes and that. And it can be with some of these TV shows, you know, where these confidence people, they're so far ahead of everyone else that no matter how many times someone tries to trip them up, they manage to get out of it. But that doesn't happen in this show. This is a show where you're sort of watching it and you're thinking, oh, he's going to get out of that. And he doesn't. And then you think there's no possible way he can get out of that. And then he's clever enough to get out of it. And
All things fall his way as well. He does get some luck in some parts. But the beauty thing is that he can, it's the situation that presents it. He's always thinking. And I think that's probably the best way to start this show now in the spoiler part is, maybe just a bit of the, should we talk the story? And basically it's all about cons, isn't it? The whole thing is a con. There are, in this show, multiple cons going on at the same time, and not only by, you know, Ribisi. I mean, the star is, he's holed up in a cell with Pete. So he's not Pete, he's Marius. He's holed up in a cell with Pete, who for the last few years has just done his fucking head in, talking about the beautiful farm that he lives on in whatever city, where, I can't remember what city it is now, or, you know, a village it is now, but he's just
outside New York State, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just outside New York.
Yeah.
And he's just basically going on and on about the trees and the apples and the greenery. And, you know, the swing, you know, the tire swing on the tree. And basically, because he's heard it so much, he's just fed up, and he tells him to shut the fuck up. And that guy, obviously, you know, is a bit violent with him, and he gets himself out of that. And then how he gets away with it, he says, "You're stuck here for a few more years. I'm on my way out of this." So what did he do? He rings his brother Eddie, who's really played the role well, of a weakish kind of brother, a car dealer, really good car dealer, a guy who can spot a cheat, is Eddie. And basically, he's working for Vince at the moment. We'll go on to that in a minute. But Vince is Bryan Cranston, and Vince, they owe him money, don't they? They owe him a lot of money, $100,000, and they're after Marius. So Marius now, as soon as he gets out of jail, is going to be targeted. So what does he do in the first episode? He cons the bus driver who's dropping him to get out of it by looking, seeing a photo. And this is the bit where he uses the surroundings. Wherever he is, he's always thinking, Ribisi, who's Marius. He's always, the con is always on, never stops. He cons the bus driver by giving him, playing on a photo of him and his dad, the bus driver and his dad, makes him stop the bus before the stop and gets off and escapes. And there's so much, you know, it's just, That's the beauty of it, isn't it, Jim? He's always switched on.
He's always got something going on. And as you're watching the show, he's so sort of, you can see, so wound up. There's so much going on. And there's layers to it. There's so many different layers because, you know.
It can be confusing at times, though.
It can be a little bit confusing. And they do use, it's very clever a lot of the time, they just use a little sort of slip back in time. Or, yes, you know, you look at it from someone else's point of view while you see exactly what Marius is doing and why. And it's one of those shows which sometimes you can watch a show and really enjoy it, but just have it on in the background a little bit. And, you know, you might be on your phone, or you might be having something to eat, or you might be having a conversation, but you'll have the show on and you can keep the gist of it. This one, you've got to watch it because it starts, obviously, like you said, he's in prison. He's got this guy going on and on and on about this wonderful thing, this wonderful farmhouse that he's grown up in. But of course, he hasn't been there for 20 years. So
That's the key.
He hasn't been there for 20 years. So he's just stuck in the cell, listening to this guy tell him about his apples, his green grass. And of course, Marius Giovanni Ribisi is this guy from the streets. Him and his brother have been in foster care. They've come up through the system. And their life is, they're criminals, they're career criminals. And Eddie, like you say, he works in the card industry in terms of looking to spot marks, basically, for his brother Marius and their crew to con them out of their money. So, but what we don't realise in the first couple of episodes is Marius knows he's coming out of prison. Marius's brother, who is played very, very well, however, he's such a snivelling little shitbag.
He's such a weak bastard.
Yeah, he can't wait to sort of
snitch
on him.
Everything.
But I think he sort of snitches on him, knowing full well that Marius is really, really clever.
Yeah,
and he'll have his eyes open, and he's taking everything in.
I think he's more weak. He can't take pain, or he can't stand someone being hurt. He loves his brother like mad. You know, Eddie does. He loves Marius, and he just can't help but make a mistake. I think it's more mistakes than wanting to snitch, isn't it? He gets caught.
Yeah.
He's not as clever.
He can't lie. That's what it is for him. He just can't lie. He's weak. He is just a weak, snivelling little person who, you know, if it wasn't for Marius, God knows where you'd have ended up, you know? But the show opens, the conversation on the telephone is, I'm getting out tomorrow, Eddie, blah, blah, blah. And Eddie, who is unbeknownst to Marius, literally being kept captive by Bryan Cranston's character, and he comes on the phone. He says, "You owe me $100,000. You tried to con me. You owe me $100,000, and I want it in a week." And bang, he's in straight away. He's like, "How can I deal with this? okay, what do I know from being in prison the last couple of years? That my cellmate Pete, his family, relatively well off. This is my only option. Or so we think that's his only option. Of course, as the show goes on, there's three or four little layers going on. And arguably the worst thing he could have done is get mixed up with his family, as we sort of see as the series goes on, because they're quite dysfunctional group.
Let's talk about the family then, because they're introduced and you've got the grandparents, Otto and Audrey, I think. Is that right? Yeah, Otto and Audrey. And then you've got Taylor. I mean, the way the family works is these two have got daughters, haven't they? And basically, all of that generation is not in the show at all. So both the parents, so Ribisi, Sneaky Pete's parent, mum, isn't in the show. So she's probably going to turn up in a series somewhere else. But the other side, the other sister, his aunt, or so-called aunt, as obviously he's Sneaky Pete, he's not really Pete. But let's just say he's Pete. His aunt and uncle, they've passed away. So their kids, they've got Taylor and Julia and what's Carly? That's right, isn't it? The three.
Yeah, so he rocks up to this farmhouse, this lovely farmhouse just outside New York State, I believe it is. Knocks on the door, and of course, you've got the fantastic Margot Martindale, who plays your grandma Audrey, and Otto. You know, who's he played by? Yeah, Peter Geraghty. Yeah, and they're great.
I mean, Margot, she's a winner of three flipping Emmys, you know, for Justified and The Americans. I need to watch The Americans, by the way. It's supposed to be amazing. So, you know, I mean, get on those as well. I mean, that's the caliber of actor in this show, you know.
So you've got those two, and then of course, like the other family members come in, and from the outside looking in, it looks like a very sort of homely,
family,
sort of happy American traditional family.
Because their first dinner, that's what he's looking. That's where you see a flashback from Pete, from Marius, don't you? Feeding his, they're all bringing out the food as a family, and he looks back and he sees his upbringing, where he's actually microwaving dinner for his brother with a stoned, either it's his mother or foster carer,
mother in the background, and so you think, all right, here we are. He's sort of landed on his feet here because he's in with this nice homely family. Little do we know that this family is as dysfunctional as they come, and he's going to have his work cut out to get anything, you know, get any form of truth out of them. Never mind any money, and that's really clever of the story, because it would have been very easy enough to just write bog standard sort of script and story that says this is a well-to-do family who've got no issues other than potentially one or two little, you know, you could have had Carly as a sort of delinquent, more of a delinquent than she is. She's sort of really switched on. She's a young girl who sort of is looking like she's going to end up in the same sort of business as her uncle Sneaky Pete when she gets older, because she's a bit of a sort of wild child, or she wants to be. Then of course you got Taylor, who comes in, who seems to be this absolute clown of a man. And he's sitting there eating his food, and all of a sudden he sees Taylor get up and shoot out, and he's got a gun around his waist, and it turns out that he's a local police officer. So he's literally just come from prison.
And he's, and so the way he says it, oh, how great, he's cop. Yeah. And he's like, oh,
it's like, Jesus, I'm walking, cause
he's ready
committed
to give up at that point, isn't he?
Yeah, but he can't. He's committed. He's in there, and he's like, yeah, here I am. Happy days. I haven't been here for 20 years. Great to see you. And then, oh, shit, man.
Yeah, and he's like, fuck.
And you know from that first meal, when they're first there, is this family, they're literally going to be in each other's pockets. There is going to be no space for him to sort of to get away and get away from them and get away from anything, because they are just itching to find out everything about him and where he's been for these last 20 years.
Just questions all the time, isn't it? He's just, and he's really clever in how he answers. Like, there's one bit where he asks him about, can you remember what happened with this guy that we that we, you know, picked on and stuff. And he goes, he, and then the camera's really clever because how it pans into him to concentrate. And he goes, he cried? And he goes, yeah, but it's how he cried. And like, he just gets himself out of all the tricky situations. And then he remembers stuff like the apple tree and the greenery to get himself out of, tricky, you know, like touching moments to melt the grandparents. Cause that's the thing. He can melt them. You know,
yeah, he plays on the. I think as we find out as the show goes on, is that this family is actually in dire straits, and they're looking for anything to distract him from the real life issues that they've gone. The real life issues, which is they've got no money. The grandmother is sort of she's
oh
up
my
to her neck.
God,
she's more dodgy than
Marius.
Otto is sort of recovering from having a stroke.
Yeah. He's got trust issues.
He's got trust issues. Julia is sort of just split up with her partner. And they're trying to keep the family business. The family business, which happens to be bail bonds, which obviously for people in this country, we don't have that sort of thing. But bail bonds is a thing in America where you get issued bail and you have to give money to a bail bond company who guarantee your bail and guarantee that you'll turn up to court on the date and time that you're given and things. So that's their business. It's being run into the ground by a rival. So what's going on in their lives is sort of so much pressure. And then bang, all of a sudden, their cousin, uncle, grandson, Pete, turns up after 20 years, and it's a way to distract them all about all the bad things that are going on, and they just focus on him. Of course, he doesn't want that as the last thing he wants. He doesn't want all this attention. He just wants to be able to get in there, get under their skin, find out where their money is, get it off them, and get out in 7 days to go and save his brother. Of course, it's not going to be as easy as that because this family he's hooked up with are just mental.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. And they're so deep into so many different things. It's hilarious.
And obviously, we've talked a little bit about the family now. But then Marius obviously has some other friends. He's got an ex. Oh, God, you know what? I forget her name.
Katie, I think it is.
Yes, Katie, that's right. And she's now moved on, you know? She's now moved on. She's got her own life. So basically, she doesn't want anything to do with him. But he just turns up, doesn't he, one time. I think it's called White Plains. He drives over to her and basically just says, I need some help, you know? And at this point, I think it's Virginia Culp, Katie Boyd. She plays Katie Boyd. But at this point, he notices that he's been followed, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he knows straight away that Vince is going to be looking for him. But he also knows that Grandma, because she's driving in the most inconspicuous vehicle, you know, a farmer's truck,
yeah,
which is going to stick out by a country mile.
Oh, no, she gets that. She gets her man to do it, doesn't he? That Sam guy.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
Sam.
Sam,
the bail bond tracker.
Basically, used to work with them. The backstory with that is used to work with them. Got into some issues. He basically asked Audrey out, or wanted to have an affair with her, and he left because she punched him in the face. But obviously,
yeah, so
this, you don't find this out.
To work for the rival company.
That's right. So Otto doesn't know this. Why he left, whatever, but he hates him because it's like, you're gone to a rival, how could you do that to me? But obviously, he doesn't know anything until the finale, so obviously we're spoiling here. But the point is, she's got a hold over him because he asked her out and that's why he left, but they kept it a secret. So he has to do everything Audrey says, and one of the things that she wants him to do is track Marius. So Marius, obviously, really switched on, knows someone's tracking. He basically makes Katie take her clothes off in the window, so it looks like he's having an affair with someone. You know, he basically thinks of everything. And so, in the end, he goes back home because he sneaked out at night, and he tells his grandma everything in the morning, like, you know, I'm sorry, I snuck out. Basically, he's again, it's another example of how he knows what to do at every situation and handle and not get caught. And not get caught out. And the next thing that comes his way is the bloody parole officer, isn't it?
Yeah. Because obviously, when you come out of prison, you've got to call in and you've got to see your parole officer, and you've got to obviously, you know, check in and give him your details and everything. Well, of course, he's had to come out of wherever he's given his the address that he's going to be living in, because he's not going to be staying in New York City because, yeah, you know, Vince is after him. Vince is going to get him. So now you've got this parole officer, who is who is Red Hot. He's a really well-written
played
character.
Played by Malcolm Jamal Warner, who was Theo Huxtable for The Cosby Show, which when I found out last night while I was looking him up, I was absolutely shocked because that was one of my favourite shows as a kid. And Theo Huxtable was hilarious. And to see how serious this guy is, like, he was in Suits season 6 for about 7 episodes, and he played a similar role, but more of a psychological guy, you know, for Mike in that. And he was fantastic. And in this one, Mr. Success is his nickname. And again, he plays it beautifully. So cool and cocky, isn't he? Absolutely cocky bastard.
And he sort of, what does he call him? He said, do you want to be an eagle or do you want to
Yeah. You're no eagle, Marius.
Yeah. And he's just very, very good. He's very, very sort of intense. He's very, very exacting. You know, you will do exactly what he says when he says to do it. And if not, then, you know, guess what? You're going to go back to prison. He takes his job very, very seriously. Oh.
Yeah,
very seriously.
We haven't even talked about Winslow, the cop, the shady cop. But he tries to get the parole officer, obviously, Mr. Success, as his name is in the show, James Bagwell, to basically turn on Marius and hand him over, doesn't he? But he's so stuck in his ways. This is only in the third episode, so Mr. Success, it was called. The actual episode's all about him. And he's like, no way. Who do you think you are? Ex-Marine? You know, this guy's an ex-Marine in the show. So he's like, nope, I'm going to do my job and you can get lost. So we don't see much of him. I have a feeling we'll see a lot more of him in the second season. But yeah, there's a beautiful, the whole of that episode, how Marius gets out of not seeing him at the office. And again, another little show of how he does his cons. But the cons keep coming. The cons keep coming with the next one, something about... what was it about a clock, Jim?
Yeah, the money in the so basically
he wants to get in the safe.
In the safe, yeah. So yeah, it's a good little thing with Winslow and Mr. Success, and that's a good, and it's good to see. It's a good little, again, really well written, because could have been quite easily that you know, parole officer, usually, you know, those sort of people are
shady.
They're portrayed as, when they're shady, and they're portrayed as sort of people who wanted to be police officers and they haven't quite made it, you know. So when a police officer comes along asking for help, they're often portrayed as very weak and like, oh yeah, sure thing, officer, whatever you want. Do you know what I mean? We're in this together, blah, blah, blah. When actually you're not in it together, you just get being played. But he's the complete opposite. He's like, no, listen, mate, fuck off.
I'm where I want to be. I don't want to be you. Yeah, no, it's
that's
beautiful.
Right. You know, you can do one. And that's really clever. It's really clever how he keeps managing to get out of it. The only little criticism I got is that he sort of comes into it and then he's gone again.
They needed to keep him going towards the end.
Because I just think that, yeah, he would have seen him once, but I'm guessing he would have had to check in on him more than once, considering the amount of running around he's had. So I was a little bit disappointed with that, but then...
I'll tell you what I think happened here, is that basically the first 4 episodes, so the pilot was made early, but then they made the next 3, they had to send 4 episodes to Amazon to review before it got sanctioned for the last 6. So I think... They've basically had to shift the story a little bit faster for the last 6 episodes. And I don't think he got... obviously, he's been written out of those 4. So I think the first four were written in a different way. It's not an excuse, but I just think that it's the way the show went. By the way, this show was first written in 2015. It was supposed to be on American Network CBS. Loads of problems, loads of issues. And in the end, it got redone. The pilot was made, but it got redone only last year, I think. End of 2015, start of 2016 was when it shot.
Ultimately, towards the end of the show, we had so much going on, so many different strands.
They couldn't fit it in.
They couldn't fit it in. It would have been impossible to add trying to get out of seeing his parole officer as well. So it just literally went from one minute he was there to gone, and it was the last you heard of him, you know, no even phone calls or nothing. So that was a little bit strange how that happened, but... But yeah, so basically...
It's all about the safe then, isn't it? How to get in.
So where's the money going to be held for this bail bonds company? So from obviously Marius doing what he does best, which is getting information out of people by, like he says at the start, I'm a confidence man. I give people confidence, they give me their money. So what he's trying to do is give this family confidence so that they give him the 100 grand that he needs or whatever's in that safe. So The only one person in the family who can access the safe, nobody else, and that's Grandma.
But why? The granddad could, but he finds out that the fucking thing's been changed.
Yeah, Grandma's changed the code. So Grandma suffers no falls, and as the series goes on, we find out that Grandma is up to her neck in it. Right, she is in big trouble. So Pete is trying to get into this safe. They finally crack it open and get in there. There's no money, so all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, where's the money? Because little do we know that the money, the 100 grand that's in there, is being held for this psycho Indian character who is just who's doing everything he can
before he starts thinking he looks like me.
Yeah. But yeah, Native American guy, red
big
Indian,
guy,
yeah,
violent,
big guy.
Oh
big
man, guy. Just scary, aren't they? The way they're portrayed, very imposing.
So they're supposed to be keeping this money for him, and obviously when his trial goes belly up, because he's arranged for all the witnesses to be killed, he's coming to get his 100 grand. Little do we know that the 100 grand has gone until they get into the safe, and then you can see that again Marius is like, oh my God, there's no money.
How do I save my brother?
Because what can he do?
He needs money.
So what does he do? He starts going on the job with the family. So he thinks, right, if I can try and learn how to do the job and try and get more customers in for the family, maybe by people being on bail and having to give money, I could, you know, get that money and get that to Vince. It's a bit of a long-winded way of getting around it. But while he's doing that, he's still obviously working on the case of, I need to find where this 100 grand has gone, because otherwise now this family who I'm supposed to be really, really close to are in the shit and potentially going to be killed.
Yeah. So he wants to save them, but he wants to get the money as well and con them as well. But also, during all this, he's doing the fiddle. He's got a few cons going on. He's done the what was the other one? The one where you pretend to take it off. Is that the fiddle? That's the fiddle, isn't it? When he takes his watch. And then he pretends.
Yeah, so he goes to he's got this clock. What happens is he goes to the grandma to do a bail thing, and he's trying to get money out of him. And he's sitting there looking round, and he's thinking, right, is there anything in this house? And there's an old clock. And he just comes up with a story, and it's absolute nonsense, this story about this clock being worth X amount of money. So the grandmother turns round and says, oh, well, we'll take that as collateral. So she takes that. He then watches the grandmother take that and give it to a
pawn shop, isn't it? Like, you know, when you pawn stuff off.
He pawns stuff off to get money for it. So, of course, he follows it in then. And it, bang, he's straight into character. He plays great little character where he says, oh, my grandma's coming in doing this and that. And she's got dementia and she's selling off the family heirlooms. And the guy behind the counter, he's like, no, I don't know nothing about that. So then as he's about to leave, he's like, oh, is that a Rolex? Oh, guy's got a real Rolex. Marius has got a shitty Rolex, copy Rolex on. Little bit of sleight of hand as he's talking to him, distracting him. Something happens. He manages to walk out of there with this sort of $30,000 worth of Rolex while leaving a fake one. And it's a typical con, you know. He's really quick handed. He's a master of sort of deception.
Yeah.
He says one thing while another thing's going on. And as the story's going on and the episodes are flowing, you realise that there's about 5 or 6 different things going on.
It's mad.
In that Marius is still in contact with his old crew.
Yeah,
and they're trying to put together a big con, which you're not quite sure.
We don't know what's going on. No one knows.
You know what it is.
No.
You've got a rough idea who it's going to be involving, but you're not sure.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can see it happening, because certain people who he needs to be involved in it are saying they're not going to be involved in it.
Yeah.
Got the backstory into how he's ended up in prison going on, and who this guy is that's died. Charlie, is it, I think his name is? The guy that gets shot by Vince, is it?
Yeah.
So, and you've got all that going on. They make reference to that. And you still, as the episodes are going on, you still haven't seen the full story of that. So you've got those two other strands going on. You've got him trying to do all the cons he can to make any money that he can so that he can carry on with his big plan.
He's dealing with the little girl, Carly, who's trying to nick stuff off him. He's nicking it back off her. It's beautiful little connection though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really, really suspicious.
What about the Taylor stuff? Taylor gets involved with Taylor. And Taylor getting battering someone. He's fucking slashing his tires to get, because he's left his, obviously he gets kidnapped by Taylor as a joke, and he drops his fucking driver's license and this. So there's all of that shit going on as well. Like, you're right. There's like five different strands of...
Five or six different things going on all the time.
And he's always stressed every... You're always looking at... He's all, you look at him and you're like, oh, I feel bad for you. And at the same time...
Because he's proper stressed. You can see it on his face. And sort of the how he doesn't lose his temper with this family who are just... Every single time he tries to do something and get ahead, they do something else to basically fuck it up for him. And just, you know, start him back.
One thing we haven't said, though. Meanwhile, at the same time, Vince is chopping off Eddie's toe. Well, he does this beautiful monologue, doesn't he? Because Eddie keeps making mistakes about calling Marius, and Marius is like, just stay there, don't worry about it. I'm going to get the money somehow soon. And basically they figure it out because a neighbor tells Richard, who's the guy who's holding him, that, you know, he was on the roof the other day. He got out. And so basically he goes and tells Vince, look, and he tells this amazing story, you know, about how this is Vince tells this story about how he let somebody off and it came to bite him in the ass. And he goes, and I think the last line is, you know, you broke it, you bought it. And he hands the clippers to Richard, who's like the minder. And he doesn't want to do it because he's worked with Eddie before. So they actually do show a bit of empathy between, you know, the crew. They don't want to hurt him. He's a weak guy. And they end up chopping his toe off whilst he's talking to his brother on the phone. And I think that does drive him crazy because we're halfway through the show at that point. And he does want to come and just burn everything down, doesn't he? But at that point, another ex of Marius's, who we haven't talked about, Carolina, isn't it? Carolina?
Yeah, it is, yes. Carolina, Carolina.
Very, very attractive woman who's now with Vince, but in the flashbacks is with Marius and part of his crew. And, you know, she kind of says, okay, don't go mental. Don't cost yourself your life and him his life by doing it now. I'll help you. And that's the first time you kind of figure out that she's involved now whilst she's dating Vince, who's Bryan Cranston. So, yeah, that's a really heavy part of the show. And that's where his big con kind of really gets going, doesn't it?
Because yeah, we haven't even talked about can't this. Do it with, Indian you can't man. Do it without her. And there's this little scene where he sneaks into sort of her apartment and has a chat with her. And she's still on the fence, basically.
That's right at the start, yeah.
Right at the start. And yeah, that scene with... that scene with Vince is just incredible. You know, the way he just sits there. And I think, you know, that's the catalyst for it to all go wrong for him, really, because Carolina, she sort of, you know, she's grown up again with Marius and Eddie. And I'm sure she's still got sort of some feelings for them all. But ultimately she's with Vince. But of course he's a little bit, he's a little bit out of order with what he does because the guy is there. He's obviously going to try and escape. Marius is still looking for the money. But I think he's overstepped the mark.
Giving him a certain time frame, having to get the money. Frame, and he's still there waiting.
He's tried to run away, and the conversation he's had with Marius has ended up on him going back. You know, this is a guy that's been beaten up. He's being held sort of hostage, basically.
What do you expect?
Of course he's going to try and escape. You know, the fact is he didn't, but ultimately Vince is a man who doesn't want to be shown to have any weakness.
No.
But that's the turning point in the show. That is what gets the people involved in the big thing that's happening in the background. It all falls into place and it's like, right, okay, yeah, he's bang out of order. There's no way coming back from this for him. What do we do? How do we get it sorted? And then...
But Jim, before you move on, that scene with Bryan Cranston, though, that shows you his importance in the show, like the way he delivered that 5-minute story, you know, beautifully. Like, it's all of an Oscar nominee as he is, a Golden Globe winner, 4-time Primetime Emmy Outstanding Lead Actor Award winner. It all is in that 5 minutes, isn't it? It's like, wow. When I watched it first time, he wouldn't stop talking. And I was like, at the end, shit, that was strong. That was powerful.
He's just great at. He's got a great voice, hasn't he? That's the first thing. He's got great. You know, the way it descriptive, and it's fantastically written. You know, it's such a really well written scene. You know, it looks great. You know, they're in his card room, and it's interesting with the Vince character. And yeah, he's a bit of a gangster, but his history is he's a 20-year New York Police Department detective. Mm. You know, he's not a criminal per se. He's not somebody who's all he's done in his entire life is being a criminal. He's done 20 years as a police officer. Now, yeah, he is a criminal. He runs this card room. And you see there's a little bit of him sort of lacking his masculinity with one of the big sharks that come into the card room, Mr.
Mukherjee.
Yeah, Mukherjee, sorry.
Yeah.
And you see him, and it's interesting to see him sort of a little bit put in his place by that
gentleman. Yeah, he's intimidated by him, and he's also... jealous.
But then he comes in with this 5-minute monologue where he's sitting there telling this story. Oh. And, you know, if you shut your eyes and listen to it, you can see exactly what's happening. You can see the story. You can see how it's going to unfold. And then all of a sudden, you just think, shit, man, he's going to do something really bad to him. And like you say, just throws the pliers to Richard and he says, you broke it, you bought it, mate.
Yeah, do it. And just the way he says it as well, in New York.
Your responsibility. You let him run away.
Okay, now. And you feel so sorry for Eddie. He's crying like a baby and you feel bad for Marius on the end of the phone. And it puts the middle of this, you know, season in a beautiful place. The end of episode 4, that is. So that's when it was going to Amazon. You know, you can tell they built it up. What happens next? Where do we go from here? You know, it was kind of like a mini break type thing. If it wasn't a bingeable show like on Amazon, that would have been a point where it could break,
Walking Dead, you know, where it breaks at Christmas and comes back.
That would have been the point. It was a really big part. And then
I think, to be honest with you, by that point, Eddie was doing my head in a little bit. So I was a little bit glad that happened because he kept doing
stuff. You're evil. You're so
making it worse for Marius, and he had enough on his plate loving with his fake family, never mind his real family, grassing him up and trying to get him into trouble and stuff, you know? So
basically, Eddie's then working for Vince, trying to get this Mukherjee spot of cheat, and he can't. So that's going on in that side of things. And over here then... is it Lance? Lance turns up? Julia's ex, by the way.
What's all
going on in this part now with Julia? They build Julia a little bit, you know, with Marius. There is a bit of chemistry between them. Obviously, you think that they're cousins. Obviously, they're not cousins. But he does like her. You know, he does think well of her. He wants her to do well and stuff. But she's a bit quirky and a bit weird. But she's really up for doing all these cons with him. You know, the first bit to get her mother and son sorted, and then the next one, you know, just load. She's willing to do anything, isn't she?
It's money, isn't it? You know, and they're desperate for money, and they're desperate for the business to stay afloat, and they're desperate for, you know, the grandmother and grandfather to be looked after. So whenever he comes up with these little ideas, she's well up for it because she wants the money to be coming in. She wants the family business to keep running because the family business is sustaining sort of grandma, granddad, her. Carly, her other kids, because she's separated from her partner, Lance, who we find out is a lawyer.
And this is the big part because he plays a massive role in the climax of it all and what happens. So Lance, played by Jacob Pitts, he's a massive, again, on regular and Justified. What you'll find is a lot of the people like Graham Yost or, you know, the guy who's a showrunner casted in his previous shows are turning up in this show. And obviously he was a massive regular. He's a bit of a dick, basically, isn't he, in this? But he plays it really well, I think.
Yeah, he's another one. He's another one who is a bit of a dick, and he's got a bit. And he's he's a bit of another snivelling little thing. But he's he plays his part really well. And you find out that unbeknownst to Marius, that the family have been victims of a con. And who better than to catch someone in a con than a con man? And as soon as he realizes that the family have been conned, then he's straight in there trying to solve the problem which is they need to get their money back. And it works out perfectly for him that it is this con being done because then he's able to go back and see his mentor.
Porter.
I can't think of the guy, Porter. Mm. What a little cameo from that guy.
He's
fantastic, isn't he?
Like, he's just so sly. Like how he gets Mukherjee's, you know, like he basically starts helping Carolina. I don't know how to say her name. He starts helping both of them because obviously Marius has got cons going on both sides in the city and supporters helping him on both sides as well. Isn't he? Porter's again pretty pivotal, isn't he? Like he's helping him with Mukherjee for the Vince side of things, but then helping him on this side with Lance as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah. It's funny, really, because Porter comes into it and you see him. He's like pretending to be this diddery old guy doing magic tricks in care homes for old people. And you see Marius goes and finds him, and you think, "Oh my God, who is this guy? You know, he can't help at all. He's just, you know, he's a dithery old codger who sort of can't do anything. You know, and he's sort of a bit infirm himself. He's not going to be doing he's not going to be any help to anyone. And you see him get off this bus, and he's got like this supercar waiting for him, and which just looks completely out of place. He jumps in there, he spins off back to his amazing apartment where Marius is sitting there waiting for him. And then, of course, we start having the flashbacks then about how this guy died. Mm. And we find out that Marius's crew, which was Marius, Katie, Porter, Carolina, Eddie, were all involved in all involved.
I think it's Marjorie's husband, isn't it, that dies?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. All involved in a large con to actually con Vince out of big money. And then we have the flashback episode sort of thing where we go through it all and see how Marius and Eddie were actually critical behind it in setting it up and how it all went wrong. And that's a really, really good part of the story.
Mm. And how Wimslow got his eye.
How Wimslow got his eye, yeah.
Shot in the face with...
Shot him in the face and how he ended up in prison. And it's just really, 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 again, well done. And again, in that scene alone, Bryan Cranston is just, you know, the story itself is really well written. It's well acted by everyone. He just drops in and he's in these scenes and he just steals it. You know, that whole little thing where he just walks in and he's just so, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. You know, I'm disappointed more than anything. And just cool as you like, walks over, bang, shoots him. And he's just stone cold. He's just a stone cold lunatic. But he's just so Heisenberg, you know, where he's gone. At this point, he's gone. He's in the zone and he is just literally, you know, you've crossed me and you're gonna pay for it. You know, like he says, you bought it, you pay for it. You broke it, you paid for it.
Exactly. And he says it's a common theme with him, isn't it? You mess something up, you got to pay for it. And I want my money. He actually says, I love money, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely loves
money. So he actually says to Carolina as well, Carolina, when they're talking and they're having dinner and stuff, and it's a very natural conversation about how Mukherjee's getting to him. And he goes, oh, Mukherjee's been handed everything. I've had to fight for everything. And that's what I think that's where you get the bit of the backstory from Vince, is that he's had to earn everything to where he's got to, and losing anything hurts him, whereas he hates people that are just handed, like Mukherjee's like been given a telecoms business in Mumbai because his dad owns the telecoms business in India, you know, and stuff like that. So you could tell he's someone who's going to be very protective over what he's got, and if you try to take it or harm it, you're dead. Or yeah, you pay for it. You pay for it.
Or
he says, I don't want to kill you. Sometimes he does say that. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to kill you.
No, you don't want to, because he wants him. I think ultimately he'd want them both to work for him. Eddie in particular, with Marius sort of potentially running cons. But ultimately you can't trust Marius. And, you know, Marius is going to do everything he can to get his brother out of there. And ultimately the reality is that they wanted to con Vince before all this started, and given what's happened in the backstory, he's even more desperate to con him.
So,
you know, because
Jim,
they killed one of his mates, didn't they?
Exactly. They're desperate to get one over him and make some money. And basically, let's wrap as in the whole of Sneaky Pete up, because towards the end of this now, it gets really messy, doesn't it? Really messy with Wimslow involved, and, you know, he's tied up by Katie and her husband, her massive husband, and stuff like that, and that all gets messy, and they let him off, and he goes, and you know, they come to an agreement where he's not going to come back to them, otherwise he'd kill him, because that guy's scary, Katie's husband, he's fucking huge. And then he gets to the house, doesn't he? He gets to Carly, and and that's a great scene, you know, when he walks into the house.
Yeah, and she's got the shotgun, and
oh my God, and he gets the kid, you know, Julius' kid and stuff. Oh my God, that's such a good scene.
It's all ramped up, and it looks as if there's only one way where this is going to go, and the ultimately is that he's not going to get the money,
he's gonna
and
go.
Winslow's gone off the reservation a bit because he's working for Vince. And Vince has said
he's got a personal issue because of his eye.
He's got a personal issue with Malius because he shot him in the face. And, you know, all he wants is revenge on Malius for being shot in the face. He's working for Vince, but if Vince doesn't get his money, and he's happy enough for Vince not to get his money because then he'll just kill Eddie. He's happy for him. Winslow is happy for them both to be killed. And it looks like everything's going wrong. And then all of a sudden, Malius is sitting back at the card table playing poker. And you're thinking to yourself, how is this going to pan out? Because all of a sudden now it looks as though the whole thing has turned around and he's working for Vince again.
Yeah, but in the last episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
He gets the money off Lance then as well.
Yeah.
He finds out about the boat. He finds out about the big con, about house.
Yeah,
sorry.
So Lance has been sort of sniffing around Julia again, hasn't he? Trying to get back in the good books, and he wants to do this about buying this boat, and you don't really think much of it. No. And you think, oh, you know, yeah, maybe they are trying to make a go of him, whatever. And then it all comes to the head about where this 100 grand is gone out of the safe. And Marius has pretty much worked it out that somebody's conned her out of the money. And it turns out that the con is Lance. Lance has conned Audrey out of her money with a scheme which is sort of the land has been sold and they're going to be building houses, but to do that they need a bit of
old pyramid stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the old trick in the book. Yeah, they need a bit of collateral. Give us 100 grand, we'll give you. So I think it was something like give us 50 grand and you'll have sort of 50 grand back straight away, which happened because that's what they do. You know, they give her she might have handed over say 25 grand and they gave her 50 grand. Back because they know she's got extra money, so she thinks she's getting double the investment.
She throws any more in.
They say, oh, I got 100 grand. Oh, well, you know, throw that in and we'll give you whatever. Well, of course, she throws the 100 grand in and it's gone. And Lance is behind this. And all of a sudden, you realize, well, guess what? If he's buying this boat, yeah, he's a lawyer, he might be doing okay, but he shouldn't have enough money to buy this god awful huge boat that he's buying.
Yeah,
and he's the person behind it. So, of course, Marius then decides to run a con on him where he pretends that the land that the farm is on has this weird sort of
radioactive
stuff on it. And then you see him running around with like Geiger counters and catnip.
Yeah, it's so funny. That's what it's actually funny, isn't it? You laugh your head off at it.
Running around trying to sort of basically, you think, why would anybody think that? But there must be a material in sort of cat mess.
Yeah,
what's it called? The stuff the cats.
I don't know.
The stuff the cats. You know, if you've got a cat, you'll know exactly what it's called. And of course, you see Lance over at the farmhouse with his Geiger counter where they've thrown all this cat stuff, and it's showing that it's like radioactive. So he thinks he's well in, and going to make a lot of money.
Hands over money.
And then of course, but again, this is the sneakiness of the show. While all this is going on, Otto is aware that, the Native American chap wants his money back. And he's thinking the only way to get it is to call in,
a hitman.
And the reason he wants he wants to have himself killed. So that his wife, Audrey, gets the insurance money, which will pay the money back to the criminal whose bail money she's got. And it comes to a crescendo, doesn't it?
The
last one episode of these series.
The funniest thing is that the Native American Indian's there, you know, the red Indian is there and he kills the hitman.
Yeah. So they're all in the office and the hitman.
Blood everywhere.
And the Native American guy's there with his own hitman. So the hitman rocks up to shoot Otto and pretend to break into the safe, which is empty. The Native American chap has sussed out what's going on and the fact that the money's not there.
Winslow walks in,
the guy to shoot Otto and make out this robbery's happening, and the Native American guy is there, knife in the back of the head, Jesus. He's dead, and then you're like, that's the end of that episode then, if I remember correctly, and you're like, this has all gone wrong.
Yeah, and then obviously, what's his name turns up? Marius is there, Lance is there, Thingy turns up, and then Winslow turns up from the back, takes Marius, and they let him go, and he's like, what the fuck's going on? And Otto at this point is like, we're fucked. And then obviously his grandson turns up the next day to clean it all up, doesn't he? Is that right?
Yeah.
Taylor, because so, they've got to dispose of this body.
So Taylor turns up, and obviously they decide tidy it all up, clean up, and try and get rid of the body because, you know, this is the family. And like with all these shows, you know, family is the most important thing. And it's sort of constantly running through. The theme of the show is pretty much a family is the most important thing, even when they're actually not your family, you know, because he's doing everything to save his family in order to save his actual family. It's very, very clever. And then, of course, we get to the final episode, which is Marius ends up back in New York, sitting
with the money,
table, looking to what we think is help Vince
with Muguchi,
which will allow him to get his money back that he's owed and allow Marius and Eddie to leave. But of course,
Vince picks up on it.
But that it is Marius running that final con to try and catch him out.
Yep. And the beauty of this con is that Mukherjee is a part of the con, but doesn't even know it. He doesn't know it. So apparently it's supposed to be the Turk. Porter's thinking they're doing the Turk, which is a big con, which has got no moving variable. It's basically a simple con to go and, you know, just take all the money, isn't it, out of this guy. Make him think something else and take it. But the guys, if it was the Turk, he's supposed to be in on it, Mukherjee. But because he's not, it doesn't make it that con. So Porter says that right at the end. There was too many moving variables or something. And he goes, oh, well, at least we won. But basically what happens is at this point, he basically telegraphs everything. He predicts everything. Marius knows that Vince is going to pick up on it and, you know, find out. They pick Mukherjee on purpose because I think Porter finds out or one of the... Who's the one that does the intelligence stuff? I can't remember. Is it Porter or is it Marjorie? One of them finds out that Mukherjee is a federal witness.
Yeah, that's right.
Has an FBI agent on him all the fucking time. So if Vince kicks off, which he will, the FBI is going to be on Vince's case immediately, shut him down. So he telegraphs all this.
Yeah, because what you think is happening is that Mukherjee is in on it, and he's got this guy with him who's just his handler, you know, his minder, whatever. But of course, what you don't realize is he has no clue what's going on. He's been set up as much as Vince. Marius has, like you say, sort of made it so obvious that you'd have to be an idiot not to realize that you're being tricked again. Knowing full well that as soon as Vince loses the plot, which he will, the FBI agent who is handling and keeping Mukherjee safe has got a gun on him. He's got his badge on him. He's got an alarm on him. So as soon as any shots are fired or any issues start, bang, he's got to protect Mukherjee. But of course, Vince has lost his head at this point because he thinks he's in on the con. So he shoots the FBI agent.
Yeah, exactly.
The
handler. It's fucking mad.
It all kicks off.
Luckily, he's got a bulletproof vest on, so he shoots Vince in the knee, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Vince goes down, and then we finally see all the moving parts come into place for them all to get what they wanted from the very first episode and the beginning of all this, which was money.
Yeah,
and they get not only the money that they wanted, but money for everybody. Money for the whole, for Eddie, for Carolina, for Marjorie.
But how? Because one of the guys, whose name I don't know, the guy that helps them get into the safe the first time round in the bail bond shop, and then he turns up as a paramedic this time to help Vince, you know, before the cops turn up, and he says to the FBI agent, go down, they're looking for you. And what he does is he chops Vince's thumb off so that he can get into his safe and leaves the thumb there.
Vince has got a safe which you've got to put your thumb on to unlock. So rather than drag Vince over to where the safe is, he just goes in and chops his thumb off. And it's a great little bit of symmetry because only a few episodes ago, Eddie has having his toe chopped off.
That's how they make about 600,000 or 800,000 because there's like 6, 7, or 8 of them.
Yep.
And they get 100 grand each, don't they?
There's a lot of money in that safe.
Whatever it is, there's a million because they end up taking a lot more. And
yeah, because he ends up giving money back to...
He gives it all back. Marius goes back. Yeah. So everybody splits up at this point. Carolina says to Eddie, you come with me. I've got my money going into a casino. I'm going to be owning a little bit of a casino in Vegas. You can be... you can help us pick cheats at the tables and deal for us. So Marius says to him, look, you know we need to split up. We can't keep doing this. You go, yeah? So he went then, and... and then he's gone, and then Marius goes back to the family, and at this point he thinks he's caught out. He thinks they know that he's not Pete, but as it turns out, they're like, what have you done with the money, this and that, and he throws all the money on the table, and then Otto goes, but why did you lie? And the grandma goes, because he's one of us. And like, because they've all been lying throughout the whole show. All of them have been lying to each other. Otto was going to get himself killed and chasing the Audrey. Audrey was doing this, was getting conned, trying to help the family obviously make money. Her intentions were correct, you know. She was trying to make more money for the family, but in the end was getting conned and then started fucking pawning off everything and making basically she dug bigger hole for herself. Julia is trying to help the family, he's nonplussed about everything until Pete turns up. Lance obviously is totally fucked now, he's done nothing. And Taylor is just dumb, isn't he? He's a dumb cop. He's just stupid.
Yeah, they are just a dysfunctional family of misfits who have just all tried to keep things from each other.
Yeah,
and it's almost the perfect family for a con man to get into.
Yeah.
Because
and he just says
all,
he was a gambler.
In some way, they're all pretty much conning each other.
Yeah, and all he says was that I had to go and meet this guy and play poker and get some debts put off and all that, and I won. And they said, you lost, and he goes,
and
I won.
Yeah, and used the money, and he empties out all this money.
And he goes, I best leave now.
he spent 10 episodes convincing everybody that he is he's Pete.
Yeah.
And
oh my god, the ending.
He's walking off and he's thinking, happy days, everything's gone, thanks very much, say ta-da to everybody, here's your money, gonna do this, gonna do that. And he's just about to go into the train station and leave, and bang,
he's kidnapped again.
Do you know what, when it happens, I was thinking,
it's Taylor again.
I was thinking, I don't understand this, what's going on?
Yeah.
And there's these two people, and I'm not sure exactly who they are, but they're like, yeah, you're Pete Murphy, and he's like, no, I'm not. Of course, in his wallet, what's he got?
Yeah, he's got all the fake stuff. Everything
doesn't
fake.
Exist. Mm. He's had all the computer files
changed.
Updated to show that Marius Jovovich is not his face. And they won. What do they want? They won like $15 million off his mother or something, off Pete's mother.
Basically, now what happens is you realise that Pete isn't as it's not as simple being Pete as he thought it was going to be. And now that he is the real Pete, that real Pete has done some serious shit. And now he's going to have to pay for taking over Pete's. So all of a sudden, from being Pete to con someone, he's landed himself in absolute big shit. And the second season promises to be amazing. Because I think he's going to have to go back to the family for help.
Well, that's the only thing he's going to have to do, because he's going to have to stay, isn't he? Because by the sounds of it, he's got to find his mother, because Pete seems to have... Well, Pete just seems to be not the idiot that everyone thought he might have been at the start, and how he's portrayed initially.
Mm.
He seems to have got himself into some real big shit, like you say, to some big people. But his mother, I think, is going to be the key to season two. So how he's going to con his mother, or Pete's mother, because if anyone will know, even after 20 years, you'd think your mother would know whether it's you or not. So
the mother, he's. The mother's known him, as in Pete. I think they've been together the whole time, so I don't think there's anything to... I think he's going to have to leave the family, and maybe... Okay, so maybe I was wrong staying with the family. I think he's going to have to go find Pete's mom and take another... become another person to Connor.
It's going to be odd. Because you can
so
see it
funny.
Now. She's, yeah.
She's going to end up back at the farm, and they're going to be like...
How's he going to manage to play... it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
It's such a great show. I mean, to finish, we've just basically talked for an hour or 55 odd minutes on the whole plot lines, the story. There's so much more than this, if you haven't seen it and you've listened to us spoil it all. But there is so much more. When you watch it, there's loads more going on into the story. I mean, in the end, the way he deals with Carly, pickpockets her again, really cool. In a really cool scene, she tries to pickpocket him, he gets her back. Just loads of little things and relationships going on in there that we haven't even talked about. But I think
there's so much going on that you've got. It's so difficult unless you sat down and went episode by episode. There's just so much going on. You can only give an overview of it, and it's just one of those TV shows. I think that once you start watching it, you'll want to watch it all in one go. You'll want to binge watch it, and it's just a pity the season two is not going to be out for a while. But it's just fantastic. It's really well written. The performances are fantastic. And it, like you say, there's loads of little bits and bobs going on, which one we can't talk about because it's just too much.
Yeah.
And two, which probably will be your favourite part of the series, you know, because that's exactly the way a good TV show should be.
To finish, I just want to talk about some of the characters. Eddie Michael Jaya, I think he played about 11 episodes in Mr. Robot. I know a lot of people watched that. Shane McRae, who was Taylor. He was in The Following, also in a couple of episodes of Nashville. Marin Island, who was Julia. She was really good in this, best known for her appearances as a terrorist in Homeland. And the main man, who we should talk about a little bit now, before we go, Ribisi, Giovanni Ribisi, Sneaky Pete, Marius, Josipovic. Because obviously everyone keeps calling him Vich, and he keeps telling everyone no, Marin, Josipovic, doesn't he, in the show, which is funny. But, this guy's never had a major role, Jim. He's always the bit part player, like I saw him first in Saving Private Ryan. He's been in Ted, he's been in Avatar, small roles in Entourage and Friends as well. He's always the guy, the funny guy or the comic, or maybe even sometimes a villain, like Avatar was more negative, wasn't it? But never had something around him. And I've always liked his work, always. And when I saw that this show was, he was in the lead, I think that's more than Bryan Cranston. I think he attracted me to it, which is weird because he's not a major name, but I think he will be now, won't he?
I think so. He's like, he's one of those character actors, isn't he? Which you know that if you see him in a film, you're like, oh, he's in this. Oh, that'll be good.
He'll never disappoint you, basically.
No, you know what you're going to get. But this is like another level for him, I think. And it just shows that, you know, over recent years, the quality of TV series has sort of gone sort of through the roof, really. And big major actors are being drawn to TV as opposed to films, with great storylines, and a lot of money's being spent on TV shows, such as this one, you know, and you can tell in the production of it, it looks good, and it just flows really, really well, and it's really well written. And the cast, everybody in there is fantastic. You know, they all play their parts really, really well.
Yeah.
And yeah, but Giovanni Ribisi is hopefully now, you know, he'll be in a few more other things.
Mainstream now. He's
mainstream.
And,
yeah.
And he's perfect, isn't he, for the role, mate?
He's great for this. Yeah. I couldn't think of anyone better, really. Not having watched it with him in there, he's absolutely great. Just the way he's just hilarious. He's just sort of exasperated all the time.
I just hope he gets some appreciation for it now. You know, like as in he wins something for it. I don't know if he will or not, but I think he was, it was just, if you like we talked about at the start of the show, if you like something a little bit suspenseful, as in what's going to happen next and, you know, oh, he's living a lie, identity type of theft. I think that's the key, identity theft, isn't it? You will love it. So please do watch it. Any final words on this, dude?
I just recommend it, basically. Just make sure you give it a go. Watch it, however you watch it, whether you're on Amazon or however we watch TV nowadays.
We won't mention those on the podcast,
Amazon, however you watch TV today, it's on Amazon Prime as well. Watch it. It's great. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I really don't.
No, and give it a chance. If you're finding it a bit slow, I can't imagine you would. I watched the first four episodes again yesterday and I flew through them. Please do. Stick with it because it is really, really good. So with that, I just want to say a massive thank you to Jim Fishlock. If you can, please go listen to his latest show, his and Jace Roberts' latest show, Two Guys on Live a Bird. I was on it too, so you should listen. And I'm sure they'll be doing much, much more soon. I'll be hounding them, making sure they get on it in a couple of weeks, maybe, if I can. This is a rarity to get Jim on two shows in a week anyway. But Jim, you were fantastic, mate. Thank you so much for your help on this.
Cheers, mate. A pleasure. Real pleasure. Yeah, the two guys in the Live Bird podcast was good, if I do say so myself.
Emery Jan was perfect, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was perfect. Yeah, Emery Jan. Who'd have thought it, eh?
Who'd have thought it? Fantastic.
Who should we pick next time?
we'll might have to be Lovren.
Oh, Jesus, no.
No. Okay, that's it. Make sure you listen to everything on the AI channel. Plenty more coming soon. I think the Logan review is coming next week from the AI comic pod, so keep an eye on them. There might be something a bit horrific on the way soon, too, so keep an eye out for that. And that was On The Box.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.